Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing to teach on a subject that I've entitled Christian Philosophy Part 2. Part 1 of Christian Philosophy was just establishing what a philosophy is. It's talking about a way of thinking rather than individual thoughts. And in Part 1, I talked about the way we should think about the Word of God, the way we should think about God being a good God, that He ought to be absolutely Lord and we don't question Him, and things like that. In this Part 2, I'm beginning to deal with social issues. How should a Christian think about social issues such as, and this week we've been talking about homosexuality. I spent the first couple of days just establishing that it's proper for a Christian to have an opinion and to voice it. And it's actually not love. It's actually self-love if you hold your tongue and don't say the truth. And I shared that from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17, about where you shouldn't hate your neighbor, but in any wise rebuke him and not suffer sin upon him. If we know something is sin, if we know that it's destructive, if we know that it's not good for them and we don't speak the truth, then it's actually self-love. That's not loving the other person. Loving your neighbor as yourself means being tough sometimes and telling them the truth and taking the criticism. So I talked about that, and then we started through just a list of scriptures. Yesterday I covered Genesis where God created Adam and Eve. I talked about Genesis 19 where God brought destruction on the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, about scriptures from Leviticus and Exodus. It's a direct command not to be a homosexual, that is an abomination to the Lord. And we came up to these verses in Romans chapter 1 at the end of our program yesterday. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it starts talking about the gospel, the good news that God loves you and is not mad at you. And then in verses 18 through 20, it tells you why you don't have to tell people how terrible they are, because they already know it in their heart. And there is an intuitive knowledge on the inside of every person. You know, let me just put a little parenthetical phrase here and explain something, and then I'll be right back to this thought. The reason that homosexuals are so violent, and I mean they are violent, they get offended in a hurry, is because in their heart they know that it's wrong. Everybody knows that it's wrong. And there are people probably watching this who are saying that is an absolute lie, that's not true. I'm basing that on Romans 1, 18 through 20. It says, God has revealed himself from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man. They have an intuitive knowledge. Even God's eternal power and Godhead are revealed unto them so that they are without excuse. And I make no apologies for that. I've talked to people when I was in Vietnam who said that they were atheists and that there wasn't any God. And they made fools of me. One came into a Bible study and literally took my Bible study group with them and out-talked me. And yet within 30 minutes, he was back there saying, I want what you've got. And you know, in his heart, he knew that there was a God. People get into these mind games, but when the bullets are flying and the bombs are dropping, there are no atheists in the foxhole. If you put a gun to a person's head and cock it, they're going to say, oh, God, even if they say they're atheist. People can say that there is no conviction and that, you know, they are a homosexual and that this is the way they've always been and that, no, this is perfectly right, but that's not true. And the reason they are so touchy about it and the reason they fight against it so hard is because in their heart they know it's wrong. The reason that homosexuals are pushing so hard for recognition and approval isn't because they want to be normal like all of the heterosexual couples. You know, when I get into the statistics, and that'll probably start on tomorrow's broadcast, I'll show you statistics that there's only around 25% of all homosexuals who take advantage of marriage relationships when they're available. That means 75% don't, because the truth is they aren't about being normal and being committed to each other. They just don't want the stigmatism and they are touchy about it because in their heart they know that it's wrong. So that's what Romans 1, 18 through 20 says. And then in verse 21, it starts showing you that there are progressive steps that a person takes away from God. And every time you disobey the conscience on the end time. And every time you step away from this intuitive knowledge of right and wrong, you put a layer of insensitivity between you and God. And you can get more insensitive and more insensitive, so that in 1 Timothy chapter 4, it talks about you can have your conscience seared with a hot iron. You can get to the place where your conscience doesn't work anymore. And in Romans chapter 1, it's showing you the progressive steps people take away from God towards this being what the Bible calls reprobate, or where you are no longer under any conviction. And homosexuality is right at the last step. People don't start out in homosexuality. You have to cross the line, first of all, and start doing many, many things that violate your conscience. And by the time you get to being a homosexual, you have already deadened yourself and numbed yourself towards the conviction of God, and you are dangerously close to being apostate or reprobate. That's what these verses are saying. So let me just read some of this. Romans chapter 1, verse 24. It says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore." That verse 25 is talking about idolatry, idol worship. In verse 26, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections." And it begins to start talking about lesbianism and then homosexuality. Remember that I said that this is a progression. And some people might say, well, if it's progression, this talked about idolatry first, and then it started talking about lesbianism and then homosexuality. And man, I haven't committed idolatry. Well, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, it says that covetousness is idolatry. And I could spend a lot of time developing this, but idolatry isn't only falling down to some wood or stone or gold statue. But, you know, you can worship the almighty dollar. You can worship all of the physical, natural things, and your possessions can become your God. And that's a step away from God. Now, that's not a popular message in the United States or in Western cultures, where covetousness is not only allowed, but it's promoted. Our ads and everything is basically just trying to create covetousness on the inside of you. And it's been embraced and said so many times that people now have gotten to where covetous lifestyle is normal, but the Bible calls it idolatry. And after that, in verse 26, it says, "For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men working with men that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." And, you know, I'm interpreting a little bit here, but I don't think it takes very much interpretation to see that this is talking about all of the damaging physical effects, AIDS, and other things like this that come as a result of homosexuality. This isn't saying that God put AIDS on people as punishment. It just says that there is a consequence. You go out and live in perversion. You know, if you stick your hand into a saw, you're going to get cut. And that's not God that cuts you, but it's the laws that He created that you get something fast moving like that and stick your hand into it, you're going to suffer. Well, God created laws over this earth. And when you start ignoring those laws and living in perversion, these sexually transmitted diseases and things like that are the results of it. You know, we minister in Uganda a lot. And I was really blessed, along with Leland Shores, our man on the ground there in Uganda, that we got to meet with the president and the first lady of Uganda. They've been promoting this abstinence. They have cut that AIDS rate down to, I think it was 6%. And the first lady especially has really promoted abstinence and has been start teaching that you can just control yourself and live a godly, moral lifestyle. They actually have billboards up there that I thought were awesome, and it showed a man with his wife and kids, and it says, "You can be faithful." And they are promoting just being faithful. And you know what? If you live a godly lifestyle, it'll stop all these sexually transmitted diseases. Now, somebody will probably come out and say something about, well, you could get AIDS through a needle in a hospital. Well, certainly that has happened. But you've got to admit, if you will be honest, that the vast majority, 90-something percent, I don't know, but a huge percentage of all of the sexually transmitted diseases and AIDS and all of these kind of things come through perversion of lifestyle, perverted sexual contact. And if people would be moral, then they wouldn't have it. Primarily, to a vast, large degree, these sexually transmitted diseases and AIDS come as a result of immorality. And in Uganda, they've been promoting this abstinence. They have cut that AIDS rate, and it's just through nothing but abstinence. They haven't been passing out condoms. They haven't been telling people to go ahead and be immoral, just do it in a safe way. They're teaching godliness. Would to God that America could do the same thing. You know, I was just in Uganda, and I got to speak to some of the members of the parliament, a prayer breakfast type thing. And it was just that week or so recently before I got there that the International Monetary Fund had offered them a huge sum of money if they would just embrace homosexuality and promote it as being normal. And the parliament of Uganda said that our morality is not for sale, and they refused it and turned down this huge amount of money that could have been a blessing to them. But in a sense, there's this international pressure, see, and being put on people. They're trying to buy their loyalty. And they not only rejected that, but while I was there, they were introducing a bill that would make homosexuality against the law. They were going the other direction. They got pushed, and so they're pushing back. Would to God that America would stand up for its principles. I think it's Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any nation. I guarantee you, sin and the ungodliness going on in this nation is a reproach, and it is not promoting us, and it's not helping us. We ought to stand for something. We ought to take a stand, and I encourage you to make this an issue. You ought to vote for people who are going to promote godliness instead of ungodliness. And in verse 28, this is Romans 1:28, it says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. This reprobate mind is talking about that since people didn't want God's conviction, they didn't want Him around, God just withdrew conviction from them. In John chapter 6, verse 44, I believe it is, the Scripture says that no man can come unto the Father except the Spirit draw him. People on their own do not seek after God. It is not fallen human nature to seek after God. God has to draw us, woo us by His Spirit. And that's what Jesus was saying. No man can come unto the Father except the Spirit draw him. And if people go to rebelling and pushing God away and saying, I don't want you in my life, you can reach a place to where God will say, all right, you don't want me, I won't draw you. And if God quits drawing you, you are reprobate. That means that you have no conviction, no knowledge of the truth, and you don't care. And I tell you, I think that we have a lot of reprobate people today that have gone past, they've passed this point to where there is no conviction. Their conscience is seared with a hot iron, as it talks about in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And they, at one time, they knew the truth, but they have just rejected it so long. God has given them over to this reprobate mind. And we have those people rising to the forefront and taking leadership today. In verse 29, it says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters. Boy, I wish I had time to teach on every one of these things. Some of these things are not only allowed but encouraged in our society today. And yet they're all being listed as being terrible things that bring a person to where they're reprobate, to where God won't even deal with you anymore. Inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, which is natural affection here is talking about those who are homosexuals or break up the family, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do it. And so this shows you that homosexuality is listed along with terrible sins such as murder and extortion and just all of these terrible things. Homosexuality is a sin. And it's one of the very last sins in a progression of things that move us away from God. It's one of the very last things before a person becomes reprobate, totally beyond God's reach. Not that God couldn't reach him, but that they just said no so many times, God lets them go. And he's not going to draw them. That's a terrible state. You don't want to be there. I guarantee you, anybody who's flirting with homosexuality is flirting with being reprobate, apostate. You don't want that. You don't want anybody else to be that. That's terrible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And this Greek word that was translated abusers of themselves with mankind, I won't attempt to pronounce that, but it literally means those that defile themselves with mankind. The NIV translates this as homosexual offenders. And this is exactly what it's talking about. So that's talking about homosexuality. It's in Old English, and some people don't recognize that. But 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10 is talking about that. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind." Now, here is that same Greek word that was just used in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. It's being used here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, and it means them that defile themselves with mankind, or as the NIV puts it, this is talking about homosexuality. So it's listed again in the midst of a list of things with murder and stealing and all of these things. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly." You know, for anybody who says, what does God think about homosexuality? Again, we've used those verses already, but Genesis 19 shows you what God thinks about it. And then here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, it says that God did this and set an example for those who later would want to be homosexuals. You wonder what God's opinion about it is? Read Genesis 19 about God destroying all of Sodom and Gomorrah and wiping out men, women, and children because of the abomination that it was. It's wrong. Homosexuality is wrong. The homosexual, God can forgive. But the homosexuality is wrong. It is a perversion. It is an abomination to God. In Jude chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of fire." And so that verse shows you that this is something that is an example that God set for us, and it is wrong. Homosexuality is a sin. I just don't know any way to interpret the Scriptures other than to say homosexuality is a sin. And again, it really bothers me. It's one thing for a person to be a homosexual and to know that it's wrong, and they're just going to persist in it anyway. But today, people are actually trying to twist it to where this is normal, and they're saying that I can't help it. I was created this way. That is an absolute lie. There's a lot of things I could say on that, but let me just use this one line of reasoning to make that point. God judged it. In Genesis 19, it's referred to in 2 Peter. It's referred to in Jude. And there's just so many times that he commanded us not to do it. God would be unjust to command a person not to do something that they are genetically disposed towards. Now, God doesn't do things like that. When God tells you not to lie, not to steal, it's because you can stop those things. You don't have to do it. If God was to tell you not to breathe, that's unreasonable because you've got to breathe. That's something that you can't help. If he was to tell you not to be a man or not to be a woman, that would be unreasonable because he created you that way. But God never created anybody a homosexual. That is being promoted and established today, and there is absolutely zero proof of it. It is not true, and based on the fact that God held people accountable and told them not to do this, and if they did it, He judged them, that shows you that from God's standpoint, which is the correct standpoint, it is not genetic. I believe that every person, sometime or another, you know, is confused, and we wonder about this, and we challenge things. And in our culture today, every time a person has any problem, they come along and say, well, the reason your marriage isn't working, the reason you just can't get along with women is because maybe you're a homosexual. And they confuse people and they sow these seeds of doubt and get them involved in a lifestyle. And then once they're in it, it's a trap and it's hard to get out of the condemnation and stuff like that. But they are preying on people with this thing that it is genetically disposed, and that is not true. God didn't make you to be something different. Act differently than your sex that you have. If you're a man, God intended you to have a relation with a woman. If you're a woman, God intended you to have a relationship with a man. And that is the truth. And God didn't make you any other way. And it's a lie when people are telling you that you can't help it. You can help it. It's wrong. I don't hate you. I, in fact, love you is the reason I'm telling you the truth. Homosexuality is sin. God loves the sinner, but He hates the sin. Homosexuality is an abomination. And I've given you the scriptural things. God doesn't always explain Himself why He says these things. As I get into our program tomorrow, I'm going to show you some statistics. And I'm going to show you how destructive it is, how the suicide rate increases exponentially, how that the spousal abuse, the faithfulness to a partner decreases as you become a homosexual. And there's just so many things wrong with it. It shortens your life. It increases suicide. It increases psychological problems. It is a super, super, super destructive lifestyle. And God didn't always explain to us why to do it. He's just God, and He told us what's the proper thing to do. And that's what I've been sharing from these scriptures. But tomorrow I'm going to start showing you statistics that show how destructive a homosexual lifestyle is. And I'm telling you these truths because I love you. God told you not to be a homosexual because He loves you, not because God's trying to hinder you. You know, if any of you have ever gone out and lived as a homosexual, you may not own up to this, but I can guarantee you the next morning you feel terrible. You are so guilt-ridden. You're so condemned. You have so many psychological problems, and you can try and blame it on me and everybody else that hasn't accepted you, but it's the truth is your heart is condemning you, and it's not good. God doesn't want you to live that way. God can set you free. You can be set free from homosexuality. You do not have to live under that. God loves you and has a cure for your homosexuality. You know, I encourage you to listen to our announcer and to get this teaching that I've entitled Christian Philosophy Part 2. We've also got some other materials that we're putting out along with this teaching to help you, to give you some ammunition and some tools to share with other people. So listen as our announcer shares that information and then call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Christian Philosophy Part 2 is available on either CD or on DVD for a gift of any amount. The DVDs are made from Andrew's daily television program. Request CD album T1062C or DVD album T1062D when you contact us. The supplemental material Andrew mentioned will also be included with each album. The second teaching in the CD album titled Homosexuality is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD free of charge. Request teaching TCP8C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book titled The Believer's Authority is available for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline operators are standing by to take your call. Again, that telephone number is 719-635-1111. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. The address is at the bottom of your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I believe that God was speaking to some of you that have either had homosexual tendencies, maybe you've questioned it, or maybe you've participated in a homosexual lifestyle. God loves you, and you can be set free. You do not have to live there. It's a lie to say that this is the way that God created you, and we have the truth. I'd like to encourage you to call the number that you see on your screen. You could get these materials, but we also want to help you. We want to pray with you. We want to help get you out of that destructive lifestyle and into the truth. And I know that these people on our phones could be a tremendous blessing to you. So we have that number on your screen. I encourage you to call today and request the materials, but also request prayer. Jamie and I would like to give all of the ministers watching our program a very special invitation to join us for our ministers' conference. It's going to be held at our facility in Colorado Springs, and I tell you, it is just an awesome time of fellowship and ministry directly from the Lord.
I want to give a special invitation to the wives of the ministers, whether you're evangelists, missionaries, whatever, we really want the wives to come and enjoy the blessings of the Lord with her husband.
It is not just an informational conference where we give you skills about how to do things. It's inspirational, where we minister to you. Praise and worship is special. I guarantee you it'll be a great time, so make plans to join us the first week of October right at our facility in Colorado Springs for our ministers' conference.
And we'll see you there.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado at Caris Christian Center, September 27th, in Colorado Springs for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, September 28th through October 2nd, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Join us tomorrow for Gospel Truth as Andrew continues his teaching titled Christian Philosophy.
That's the only way I can understand a person who claims to be a Christian embracing some of these perversions today is for you to just relegate the Bible as being irrelevant. And it doesn't matter what the Bible says, and we are now enlightened and we've gone beyond the Bible.